pray. God, I just thank you so much for today. I thank you so much, God, for being here already. Thank you, God, for loving us. Thank you for your presence, God. God, I just pray now that our hearts are going to be open, that our hearts are going to be ready, that we're going to be sensitive, that we're going to be able to hear your voice, your word to us. That we're going to be presenting the written word of God today, but there's also that rhema word, that you have a specific word for each one of us today, no matter where we are at with you, no matter what our relationship with you, we might not even know you, but we just believe in faith that the Holy Spirit has a specific word for each one of us. And God, I just pray that we're going to hear that word, receive that word, and then we're going to take action in that word. We're going to be a doer of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today I want to share three specific things. There's not just three things, but I want to share three specific things about staying free. The first one, number one, is we need to take out the garbage. We need to take out the garbage. We need to choose every day to live in obedience to God's word and his righteousness. Thank you. I was waiting. We're so good at saying amen when we say we're free in Jesus. Amen. Right? But we need to live in righteousness. We need to live in obedience. Amen? Thank you, Brad. You must know me well. I want us to turn to in our word here to James chapter 4 in verse 7 to 10. James chapter 4 in verse 7 to 10. It says, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. See, verse 7 here tells us that when we submit to God, that then we can live free from the enemy. Submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But the key there is that word submit. That when we learn how to submit to God, he gives us the ability, he gives us the power to tell the enemy where to go. And he will go. That's an incredible scripture, isn't it? Okay? And then verse 8 to 10 helps us to understand how to submit ourselves. Verse 8 says, come near to God. Wash your hands. Purify your heart. This is dealing with sin. This is how we submit to God. Come into obedience. Come under authority. Confess your sin. What does the Bible say happens when we confess our sin? That if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is how we wash our hands and purify our hearts. And then verse 9, and we read this, it might be a little confusing because it says, grieve, mourn, and wail, change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. This is not saying that God wants us to be miserable, but what this scripture is really saying is it's time to get serious about your sin. It's time to get serious about your sin. How many of you know it's very easy to tolerate sin in your life? Isn't it? This scripture is saying, get serious about it. Don't ignore it. Stop thinking it's not a big deal. It is. Stop lying to yourself. Stop trying to justify your sin. Confront it. We need to ask ourselves the question, do we really want to be free? Do we really want to live in the finished works of Jesus? Or do we just want to say amen about it on Sunday morning? You know what I mean? Or are we really serious? If we're really serious about living in the finished works, we need to get serious about the sin in our life. We can't, if we do want to be free, we need to make a decision to get serious. We can't hang on to the chain keeping us in bondage and at the same time want to be free. Verse 10 says, humble yourselves. Humble yourselves. Confess, repent. Come near to God with that contrite heart. Come under authority. Come into obedience with God's word. This is humbling ourselves. And what's going to happen? God's going to lift you up in victory over the enemy. Then you can resist the devil and he will flee. But first we need to learn how to submit. I've used this illustration here before, but how many of you ever have had garbage in your house to the point that it has attracted flies? Or maybe to the point that it has grown flies. When those flies start to come and you start to see those flies flying around your garbage, what do you do? Do you try to start killing all the flies? What's going to happen if you kill the flies? Even more coming back. So what do we need to do when we see the flies flying around the garbage? We need to deal with the garbage. We got to take the garbage out and the flies are going to follow. Listen to this. Satan and demons are to sin like flies are to garbage. Instead of just yelling at the devil repeatedly, take out the garbage. Does that make sense? Instead of just keep getting mad and trying to kill the devil, why don't we just take out the garbage? Right? And then we can resist him and he will flee. That's something that we need to do on a regular basis. Do you take your garbage out on a regular basis? Or do you just do it at Christmas and Easter? How many of you ever had a family come over to your house that has a really cute little baby? Anybody have a family come over that have a cute little baby? You know what's true about every cute little baby? They all have poopy diapers. Is that true? Babies poop. When that family's at your house and their baby poops, and the parents change and now they've got a stinky diaper in a bag, what do you do with that stinky diaper? Do you just put it in the garbage can? Or do you immediately take it out of your house? Of course, you immediately take it out of your house, because if you don't, your house starts to stink, and then you start to stink. Yes? Sin is that stinky poopy diaper. Don't let it stink up your house, because then you're going to start to stink. Right? But we need to deal with it immediately, right now, and today. Does that sound okay? Look at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11 to 14. I'm kind of taking my time with this one. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. See, a very important part of living free is going to be your willingness to expose your sin to the light. Sometimes we're not willing. So we need to confess and repent and renounce sin if we want to live free. James chapter 5 and verse 16 says, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. See, this scripture is saying that if we can learn how to confess our sin to each other and then pray for each other, right, that we're going to be healed, that we're going to have victory over whatever that particular sin is. You know, I've got a friend, his name's Dwight, and many of you have met Dwight before. But he lives in Moose Jaw, and you know what, this is something that we do together. So we will meet up, and we will confess our sin to each other, and we will commit to pray for each other regarding specific sin. But I'm going to tell you something from personal experience, is sometimes that's really difficult to do. It's really difficult, even to my friend Dwight, who I trust, who I know loves me and knows not going to judge me, it's still difficult for me to do that sometimes because I feel embarrassed and I feel stupid and I feel ashamed. Can anyone relate to me? And that's exactly what the enemy is going to try and do. He's going to try and make you feel embarrassed and stupid and shameful so that you will keep your sin in the dark. And although it's uncomfortable, and although it's difficult, and it's not something I enjoy doing, I still got to do it. And so what happens oftentimes is we'll go for lunch or something. Maybe an hour and a half we'll be talking. In that last couple minutes, one of us, or both of us, will sheepishly say to each other, you know, before we go, there's something I have to tell you. And when we say that, we know exactly what's coming next. And then we encourage each other, and we pray for each other, and we build each other up. But once it's in the light, you feel better. There's a weight that's lifted off of you. Once you can expose that sin to the light, and Satan hates it. Hates it. Because he can't keep you in chains anymore. Hallelujah. Ephesians 4:27 talks about how we're not to give the devil a foothold. See, giving the devil a foothold, right? That's like being in bondage, right? We can open the door to the devil in our life through sin. And once the devil has the foothold, once the door has been opened, he can take more ground in our life. So through that sin, if we don't deal with the garbage, okay, then he's going to have more influence, he's going to have more power, he's going to have more control, and he's going to have more authority in our life. So we're going more and more into bondage with the enemy. Please understand, he does not have the power to do that on his own. But his ability to do that is whatever we give him, he's going to take. Does that make sense? So you've got some impure thoughts. Maybe you have a thought life that you know is not right. I'm urging you today, don't ignore it. Don't justify it. Don't think it's not a big deal. It is a big deal. Right? And so it's time to confess and repent and renounce of those thoughts that we've been thinking. Maybe you've got a wrong attitude towards someone. Right? Maybe someone's done something or hasn't done something, but you've just got a bad attitude about it and towards them. Let's confess, renounce, and repent. Maybe you know, there's an issue with the words that have been coming out of your mouth. How many of you know there's life and death in the power of the tongue? Maybe we've been speaking death. It's time to confess and renounce and repent. Stop thinking it's not a big deal. It is. Don't ignore it. It's time to take out the garbage. You know what happens when we do that? When we take the garbage out and we confess and we renounce and we repent? We loose the devil from our foot. And we slam the door in his face. Doesn't it sound great? And we can remain free. I'm almost done talking about the first one. If there's one sin in particular that's going to give the devil, that will give the devil, absolutely, a foothold in your life and keep us in chains, it's unforgiveness. 1 John 2, verse 9 to 11 says, anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. Look at verse 10. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. There's nothing in him to make him stumble when we choose to forgive. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness and does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded him. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It says, if you forgive anyone, I'll also forgive him. And what I have forgiven, if there was anything to forgive, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake. Look at verse 11. In order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. Hatred and unforgiveness and bitterness, it's a scheme of the enemy that gives the enemy a foothold and keeps us in chains. Hear me when I say this. We cannot live free in Christ. We cannot live free in Christ if we are bound in bitterness. It's time to deal with it today. It's time to take out the garbage today. Amen? Let's get immediately. Why are we waiting? Immediately. So number one, take out the garbage. Number two, fill up with the Holy Ghost. Number one, take out the garbage. Number two, fill up with the Holy Ghost. So, you know, this might be a little confusing. I know it was definitely confusing for me when I was kind of new to church and or growing up in church, not new to church. I grew up in the church, but And the reason why it might be a little confusing is because we always talk about how the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. So if the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, then aren't we already filled up with the Holy Ghost? How do we fill up with the Holy Ghost then? Okay, so I think something that really helped me is to understand that there are actually three different types of baptisms. Did you know that? Okay, now the first one, and just bear with me with this, okay? The first one is when we're baptized into the body of Christ. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13 helps us to see that. We've been baptized into Christ's body by the one Spirit, and we've all been given that same Holy Spirit. So what this is saying is that when you invite Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. How many of you invited Jesus to be your Lord and Savior? Raise your hand, please. Okay? So if you invite Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, then the Holy Spirit baptizes you into the body of Christ. And the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you. This is what happens when you invite Jesus into your heart. You're baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you. Another baptism is baptized in water. And right here, this scripture talks about how we are charged, we are commissioned to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's actually talking about water baptism. How many of you have been water baptized? Amen. So we know that water baptism, it's that public declaration of what's already happened in your heart, right? That it's the public announcement that you have Jesus and that you want to live for Jesus. Now the third baptism, though, is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11, John's talking here. He says, John the Baptist, he says, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Woo! Who's John talking about? Jesus. Jesus, right? So this is a different baptism. This isn't a baptism about when you invite Jesus into your heart. That's not talking about that baptism when you're baptized in the family of God. He clearly says it's not water baptism. He says, I baptize you with water, but Jesus is going to come and baptize you with the Spirit and fire. So that's what it means to be Spirit-filled. How many of you heard that term before, Spirit-filled? Well, that's what they're talking about. It's talking about Jesus coming and baptizing us with the Holy Spirit. That baptism is an empowerment. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit's come on you. And you shall be my witnesses. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. See, this is the baptism that fills us up with power. And that word power, that Greek word dunamis, which literally means ability. When we're filled up with the Holy Ghost, we're filling up with God's ability, God's power, God's ability to do that. To go and make disciples of all nations. We're filled up with God's ability to love people. How many of you know there's some people that you can only love if you've got God's ability inside you to love? Why are you all looking at me? Right? That you have God's ability, listen to this, to live in the finished works of Jesus. Hallelujah. That's why we need to fill up. So filling up with the Holy Spirit gives us the power and the ability to stay free. How many of you got a cell phone on you? I was supposed to have my cell phone. I think my cell phone right now is about, Wendy, what's your power on your cell phone? 76%. It's at 76%. And I don't know, Wendy, is it true that when I start getting lower in my power on my cell phone, I get a notification? It notifies me that I've got 20% left, and then it notifies me again at 10%, and then it notifies me again when it's dead. Okay, so it goes bzzz, and it's done. Thank you, Wendy. So if I don't plug in my cell phone to a power source, then I'm not going to have enough power for that day. It's not going to be able to do all that I needed to do that day, right? Well, this is exactly the same thing that happens to us, is we lose power. We lose power. We leak power. We get filled up with the Holy Spirit, but we don't stay filled. Is it just me? We don't stay filled. Right? I think sometimes just through the wear and tear of the day, just toiling through this fallen world, I think sometimes we leak power and it can start to drain us. Right? I think sometimes when we act in the flesh, we start to lose power. When you're in traffic and someone cuts you off, right? And you do something in the flesh. You tell them they're number one or whatever you do. That absolutely, when we act in the flesh, I believe that drains us of power. So when you hear that voice in your heart urging you to plug into the power source, which is God and His presence, right? He's urging you to spend time with God. It's the Holy Spirit warning you. He's warning you. He's saying you need more power. That you're not going to be able to stay and live in the finished works of Jesus if you don't power up. But you got to fill up with the Holy Spirit so you can stay free. Hallelujah. You're only at 20% power. You need more power. It's time to plug in. Did Jesus do that? He did that on a regular basis. I would say a daily basis. He would go and he'd get by himself and the Lord and just spend time filling up with his power and his love and his presence and the anointing. That bondage-breaking, yoke-destroying power of God. And then he'd go and he'd save and he'd heal and he'd deliver. But then he'd go and connect to the power source and fill up again. If Jesus did that, do you think we need to do that? Absolutely. Stop yelling. So number one, take out the garbage. Number two, fill up with the Holy Ghost. Here's number three. Plead the blood of Jesus. When we hear that word plead, we think it might mean beg. How many of you know that we're not beggars, but we're sons and daughters of the Most High? Amen? That word doesn't mean beg, but that's a legal term. To plead the blood of Jesus, that's a legal term. It means that you're declaring your defense. The enemy comes at you, you declare your defense. You plead the blood of Jesus. It means to present an answer, a counter, or evidence to a charge or declaration made against you. So when Satan, the accuser, is coming and he's firing those fiery arrows and darts at you and lying to you and trying to keep you in bondage, you declare your defense. You plead the blood of Jesus. To plead the blood of Jesus is to appropriate the blood of Jesus. When we appropriate the blood of Jesus, really what we're doing is we're applying the power of the blood of Jesus where we need that power. Right? It's authorizing the blood of Jesus in your life. It's assigning the blood of Jesus for a specific purpose. How many of you remember a time in the Bible when after God's people were freed from Egypt, from slavery from Egypt, they were promised the promised land. So they were going into the promised land and they were taking over the cities in the promised land. Is that right? And they were doing it by force with God's help. One of those cities was the city of Jericho. And there was a woman there, a woman in Jericho named Rahab. And Rahab was willing to help the spies that Joshua sent into to Jericho. She was willing to hide them and help them. Okay? And then they told her that if she ties a scarlet cord in her window, that she and her family would be safe when God's people come and take over the city of Jericho. Well, how many of you know that scarlet cord represents the blood of Jesus? Hallelujah. See, what she did is she did that. She did that. She tied the scarlet cord in her window. And what she was doing is she was applying the blood, and it protected her and her family from destruction. She pled the blood. That's what it means to plead the blood. We appropriate it. We apply it. How many of you know there's power in the blood of Jesus? Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11 says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. I want to make a declaration over you right now. There is no weapon formed against you that shall prosper, and every enemy who rises against you shall fall, because there is nothing bigger and badder than the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. There is no sin the blood cannot cleanse. There's no sickness the blood cannot heal. There's no attack or battle plan the blood of Jesus has not overcome. There is no chain that has been forged in the deepest recesses of hell that cannot be broken or easily snapped into by the blood of Jesus Christ. There's power in the blood of Jesus. Glory to God. Our ability, listen to this, our ability to live free and overcome all oppression and all power of the devil has been invested in the blood of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Glory to God. Take out the garbage. Fill up with the Holy Ghost. And plead the blood of Jesus. How many of you want to stay free? How many of you are serious about it? Amen. I'm going to invite the worship team up. And we're going to have a little response song right now. And so during this song, I'm just going to ask that you respond to whatever the Holy Spirit, whatever God has been talking to you about during this entire service and message. Maybe he's saying that you need to take out some garbage. Maybe God's saying that. There's some things that the Holy Spirit has just highlighted for you, right? And shown you that the Word of God is like a mirror, right? So we can see into our heart. We can see what needs to change. So maybe the Holy Spirit has shown some light on some things that you need to take some garbage out. You need to confess and renounce and repent. Maybe in this time, in this response, you just want to fill up with the Holy Ghost. You just want to take some time and just spend His Word. And just as you begin to worship Him, that's what happens. As we worship God, you start getting filled up with God. Maybe you'd like to come for prayer. So I'm going to invite our prayer team forward as well right now. And during this response time, you can come for prayer for any of these things. And maybe you'd like to have our prayer team help you to fill up or to take out garbage or to plead the blood of Jesus if you're just not sure how to do that. Right? Or you just like a little extra help, maybe. Okay? So, but the most important thing is that we would just take some time to respond to what the Holy Spirit's doing. So you can stay seated, you can stand, you can worship, you can just be with the Lord. Amen?
Your presence is all I need. So all I seek, and without it, without it, there's no meaning. Your presence is the air I breathe, the song I sing, and the love I need, and without it. Song I sing, and the love that
God, I just feel this time that we just need to thank you for your grace. God, we just thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for not giving up on us. We thank you for the millionth chance. Hallelujah. But God, we know your word and we know your heart. That you don't just want us to get free, but you want us to live free. So, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we tear down strongholds. We tear down lies. We tear down half-truths. We tear down anything in our mind, any thought that is preventing us from living free. And we plead the blood of Jesus in this place. We plead the blood of Jesus over our minds right now in Jesus' name. And we declare by the power of the blood of Jesus, by the authority of the name of Jesus, by the power of the word of God that demolishes strongholds, we declare those to be broken in Jesus' name. We declare chains to snap in the name of Jesus. And we acknowledge that this is not an emotional thing, that this is real in Jesus' name. I declare victory in our lives in the name of Jesus. I declare victory over sin. I declare victory over bondage. I declare victory over addiction in Jesus' name. They can no longer have power over us in the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, by the word of God. Hallelujah. I come against apathy in the name of Jesus. I come against apathy. That spirit of apathy that we will get serious about you, God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Spirit of God. God, hallelujah. I thank you so much, God, for who you are. I thank you for everything that you've done for us, God. And God, we thank you most of all. Hallelujah. For your son, Jesus, and for your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So our prayer team is still standing by. If you'd like prayer this morning, please come up. And we're just going to quietly dismiss into the foyer. If you'd like to stay and worship, please do that too. God bless everyone.